The epistle reading from 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has also arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior members, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. This morning I want to talk with you a little while about membership. Not so much formal membership here at Broadway, though I would be happy to receive anyone who wants to walk the aisle this morning, of course, but rather social and theological, personal and interpersonal membership in the body of Christ, which we call church. How do we live together? How do we create community together? How do we belong together? These are core Christian questions that have been around since the very beginning of the birth of the church. And they will be with us until kingdom comes. That means they are questions which we have to work at to answer. And keep on working at to ourselves try to be the answer together. And it is togetherness that is at the heart of today's scripture from St. Paul. Paul founded the church at Corinth. And it's togetherness that he has heard has been threatened by separation. There are factions in the church. Some are slave, some are free, some are Jews, some are Greeks, some are rich, some are poor. Some are more conservative in their theology and some more liberal. Some belong there from the very beginning when Paul founded the church, and some came along a little while later. And it's these divisions which Paul has been told are about to split the church. Some are saying, I really don't belong here anymore. Not so long as they're here. Or they're saying they don't really belong here. And they should leave if they don't like the way that we do things around here. I think of that and I hear the voice of my great uncle Roy Bass, who used to say dryly, well, they can worship in their way and we'll worship in the Lord's. And so the garment is being pulled at the seam. It's about to split. And that's when Paul picks up his pen to write and to remind the church at Corinth of its unity, of its oneness in Christ's Spirit, and its individual members of their collective and shared membership in the oneness of Christ's body. No one, Paul is saying, can say that somebody else doesn't belong because they aren't just like me or just like us. And if anybody does talk or think like that, then they've got to get around more and begin to see and get in touch with the whole body of the church, and not just the individual parts that are just like them. The individual parts have to get in touch with the whole, and the whole has to get in touch with the individual parts, and the body has to learn to connect and to belong to itself. Can I speak pastorally to you for a few moments? That is a huge task for any church, and especially a big church like this one. We have a tendency in big churches to balkanize into little subgroups and affiliations. Sunday school classes aggregate around economics and neighborhoods and shared worldviews. Departments form based on age. The choir comes together around a particular style of music and worship. And then there's sex and gender and race all mixed in. And the church becomes, in the end, not so much a melting pot, but kind of a chunky stew. Think about that. And it is very, very easy for one part of the church to have no idea how the other parts think or feel. And no need to know, because it's content, in fact, in its own little corner of the church and of the universe. Or a member, say a gay or transgender or otherwise minority member, can almost be erased from existence in the congregation because a certain person or people in power don't know or wish to acknowledge that they're there and that they too are a part of the body of Christ also. This church has lived that story. Every church I know of has lived that story. And that's just the part of the difficulty in ordinary church life. How much more so when COVID, or the cover of COVID, keeps us from sitting down together at the table in the fellowship hall or folding clothes together in the community center and getting to know another member's name and hear their story and begin to see maybe we aren't so separate after all. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're not so separate. Maybe we aren't so strange or different to one another. And maybe those folks aren't so bad. But in order to see that, we have to find ways to get out of our corners. We have to get out of our zip codes and echo chambers and members-only clubs and really make an effort. Really begin to make an effort to affirm each other's places of belonging in this body of Christ. That for me is church. Desmond Tutu just died. What a witness for belonging he was. And at the heart of his ministry was what he called his Ubuntu theology. Ubuntu is an African concept from the Bantu word, which means I am because you are, or I am in you and you are in me. This is a statement about humanity. And it is the understanding that humanity, contrary to Western ideas, which see us all in individualistic terms, is in fact mutualistic. Ubuntu sees our humanity as communal. It sees our humanity as something which is shared, and the human being as something fundamentally as one who belongs. When I was at Duke, one of our professors, Michael Battle, was writing a book about his experience serving with Tutu. It's where I was first introduced to Tutu, in fact. And what he learned from Tutu's Ubuntu theology. In a talk he gave about Ubuntu, Dr. Battle said, "Most of the problems with conflicts are stereotypes. And if you can bring people together to find visceral relationships, then that's half of the solution. And by doing that on a repeated basis, the miracle of friendship can occur." I think that's at the heart of what it is I'm trying to say this morning. I'm trying to say that something about a visceral relationship is what it is that forms church. I'm trying to say something about friendship. Membership within the church is more than formal affiliation with an organization. Membership is friendship. It is the individual members seeing and acknowledging and making friends with one another in this body of Christ. It is saying, you belong, and I belong, and we belong together in Christ. Everyone here, hear me say this. Everyone here in this church this morning belongs. And coming into the fullness of Christ means coming to see and acknowledge and celebrate and affirm that fact. It means honoring each other. We are the body of Christ, diverse in membership, yet honored to be together and to be made one with one another in Christ. In 1994, Broadway released a document titled Broadway 2000, Visions for the Future. It was prescient in nature, with several courageous and inspiring statements about who it is that we wanted to be by the year of 2000, including the following vision. We will be a community that mirrors the diversity of God's kingdom and reflects Christ's peace that unites all people in the new creation. The new creation of Christ is a creation that transcends so many boundaries: social, socioeconomic, ethnic, racial, sexual, political, denominational. There is a new creation in Christ. And we, in visceral relationship, Christ's body in the world, are called to be the embodiment of that new creation, which is Christ alive. And how beautiful and diverse that new creation and body is. And though the year 2000 is behind us now, as I said earlier, the question of how we live out this vision of diversity and new creation is something we have to keep working at year by year and generation by generation. We will be a community. We will be a community that mirrors the diversity of God's kingdom and reflects Christ's peace that unites all people. We will be the new creation, Christ's community and body, and God's kingdom come on earth even as it is in heaven. I know we aren't there yet, but as Charlie Johnson, my former pastor, likes to say, this ain't heaven, it's church. And it is. This is church. Let's work at being church together. I think I've told some of you before about the first little church I pastored up in Vermont. The meeting house of that place was built in 1830 and set at the center of the town village. It was, therefore, a true community church, which meant people from all walks and ways of life called it home. There were old hippies, Yale lawyers, conservative engineers, quite a few dairy farmers, peaceniks and pacifists, soldiers and Marines, and the always present wanderer who was just passing through for a week or a month or 30 years. And not only that, it was also a quote-unquote united church, which meant it was half Baptist and half congregational, which when added together makes for churches that are fully dysfunctional. One of the best things I heard to describe the United Church of Colchester came from the Yaley lawyer. It's like we're all a bunch of puzzle pieces that have come together, except we're all from different puzzles. Try to pastor that. It wasn't always easy, and it wasn't always pretty, but it was a united church. It was also a small church, and it was a white church. But I dream of it for a big, big church and a multiracial church. I dream of it for this church. For that is still the vision, that all the members, though many, are one body. And the body looks and acts and includes and sees and listens and loves and takes care like Christ. Is Christ's hands and feet, heart and soul, parts and whole, for the whole world to see and to behold, and to know that it too belongs. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said,